This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are drinking 4 years of Bourbon County Stout and talking about all events you should be checking out this Black Friday. All that and more on this week's episode.
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? It's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, Brad. I'm Nick Waite.
And we're back with another episode here in the studio. It's Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, holidays are here, man.
Yeah, it's a good time to cozy up with a beer.
This is probably my favorite of the holidays, man.
Thanksgiving?
You know, everyone's on the same page about Thanksgiving. You know, food and booze. You know, all your different religious beliefs and gifts get in the way at Christmas.
Okay.
Right? It's more of a unified thing. We're all on the same page.
And this is just food and drink.
and like go to work half the week and let's get after it. Yeah.
All right, cool. So. Well, because of that, the events are a little light. We do have some fun stuff to talk about, as well as some stuff we made it to. But I figured since it's Black Friday and we don't have any new Bourbon County, we drink old Bourbon County. So we have the 2008 Bourbon County. We got the 2009 Bourbon County, show them off here for the camera, 2011 Bourbon County, and the 2012. So we're missing 10. We're missing 10 out of this. And I think I had a 2006 way back there, but yeah.
This is impressive what you put together. I'm looking at the sticker on the 2008 vintage bottle. $5.99, man.
Yep, $5.99. I think I bought it at the liquor store that's over in Printer's Row. I don't even know if it's still there.
I know
it
what
might
you're talking
still
about.
Be there.
Yeah, it probably is right off State Street. Yeah, yeah. Off Dearborn, yeah. Oh, man, where do we start, man? We're a little spoiled here today, man.
Right, so we don't usually do like big beer reviews on here. We usually have a beer, we drink it, we kind of just say, hey, we're drinking this. Yeah,
yeah,
it's tasty.
Much. Yeah.
So this is kind of a bigger, more, I guess, beer review, sort of, but not really because they're all old. So it's just like, what do they taste like now?
Yeah.
Where are they now? So I think we got to start with the 2008 Bourbon County, right?
Makes sense, man. Let's go chronological, man. Let's do it, man.
All right,
you got the classic. This is their old logo, too.
Do the honors, yeah.
On the top here.
Yeah, it's got the full story on it. I really like the story.
Yeah.
And it's a twist-off bottle.
Really?
Yeah, look at that. You can see
it. Oh, yeah, you're right.
There was no carbonation or anything when you open that up, so.
Yeah. They did away with the vintage brands. I think for a long time. Oh, I poured myself a lot there.
We got four of them.
Yeah, for a long time, you know, anything that was like 2 years old at the brewery that they still had, they didn't use the current label. They went back and got this vintage label for just about everything, right? So this, it's like very wordy. It's all black and white.
Right.
Yeah, it's got the really cool logo on the neck. And here we go, man. 2008 BCS, man.
Right. So I guess kind of mixing the, I want to say, events, because Bourbon County or the release is this weekend. So we're kind of almost talking about that event. I think as we go through this, it's probably like a good way to do that.
Yeah, but for sure. Shuffle it up a little bit. Yeah. And you get a chance to like, and you know, they're the crew that put Black Friday on the map as an event.
As a beer event?
As a beer event, right? Like we weren't really standing in line for beer like that. And then, you know, in addition to Black Friday, you know, just $50 beers is also, you could probably credit Goose for that too with the original Bourbon County Rare.
That's true, yeah. So 2008, you're definitely getting some of that like cellar cardboardness going to it.
Yeah, there's
the aroma is not that pleasing.
Yeah, there's a lot of oxidation going on in here. Things are coming off kind of flat, which is surprising because it's got really long legs. I mean, you know, the lacing is there, the carbonation is there, but yeah.
As far as the taste, though, it does, it's not as, like, rich and robust as I think new Bourbon County or even fresh Bourbon County is, so it's lacking there, but it's not, like, gross. It's not sour. It's not. It doesn't taste infected.
I wouldn't say it's past its prime quite. I mean, on the nose, I think it's like it's a little more. It's leaving something to be desired on the nose, right? Like it's really not that great on the nose. But I mean, all that chocolatey goodness that you like about BCS is still there.
Yeah.
It's, what, 6 years later?
Yeah, it's very sweet. Interesting.
Almost like a you know, your liquor is just kind of overused, but you know what like kind of a dark sweet, almost like a dark sweet candy, like the Tootsie Roll licorice family of candies, right?
Right, yeah. And now, do you recommend drinking your beer, like saving stuff for this long? At this point, me pulling them out was just kind of like, I think I have doubles of all of these. I could back there and pull out another 2008. That's how like ridiculous it got. And then you start to get to a point where it's kind of like, when do I open this? When is it appropriate for me to have this beer again?
Yeah. And Goose, on a lot of the bottles, they would say, hey, after 5 years, store for 5 years, changes, flavors will develop up to 5 years. But even as some of the you talk to some of the brewers, and even they will say, hey, you know, wine is typically built for the long haul, right?
Yeah.
And there are some exceptions in beer, you know, like, but for the most part, the intention of the beer was met when they bottled it.
Uh-huh.
For the most part.
Very true, yeah.
Right, you know, yeah.
So I just opened the 2009 Berman County, also a twist-off bottle. So they still hadn't, at that point, switched over any format or anything like that. So that was probably what they were using for everything at that point. Like, if you got a Goose Island beer at that time, it was probably a twist off.
Yeah. And then I remember 2009, I want to say that was the first year that you had the mix. You could get, like, the Bomber or the 12-ounce in 2009.
Oh, possibly. But I think it was still coming in four packs.
Four packs?
Yeah. So I would give yourself a little smaller of a pour this time.
Oh, dude, I got excited and went to town and poured like 4 ounces of the 08. I'm like, oh, shit.
So this year you're going to be able to get regular Bourbon County, but the call comes in one size bottle now, right?
Yeah, so it's the 16.9, I believe, right? I don't know what cool name that they were giving for that.
Yeah.
But I love the bottle, man. It's like the, you know how the lettering is built into the bottle, for lack of a better term, whatever you call that type of
like embossed.
Embossed. Thank you. Yeah. I love the new bottles. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of difficult, like, you know, from a photography standpoint, it kind of sucks because it's a black bottle with black glass letters on it.
Sure. Yeah.
And there's nothing but, you know, there's nothing but reflections all over the bottle. Mm-hmm. But
so the 2009. It has a more of a cherry kind of aroma going to it. And I'm still getting that cardboard, that oxidized smell to it.
Yeah.
But a little more burnt toasted malt to it, too.
The toasted malt, the charred oak, you get a little bit more of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love that we're finally doing this kind of like the sensory analysis kind of thing. Because, yeah, you're right, man. We cruise, we get right into the parties. But, yeah, slow it down and talk about the beer a little bit. That's not bad.
It tastes stickier. Mm-hmm. Like, it's sweeter than the 2009 aged, I guess.
It kind of coats your mouth a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Like that, like a hot alcoholic root beer flavor kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's in a little better shape than the 2009, so if you still have one, I think that's probably as good as it gets if you're aging them. Like, that's you're just getting worse now.
I think you're right. And you just get a little bit more of the good old-fashioned whiskey notes.
Right, that's true.
When you smell this one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. It's definitely sweet. It really, I don't know if it was because of the first one, I didn't get the sweet sugarness to it. Maybe because I was getting my palate used to the flavors, which is always kind of hard when you jump into a big beer. But now that I have it, I'm like, yeah, all right, that one's definitely strong. It doesn't have any burn. Both of these, that burn is gone. The age usually takes away that anyway. Yeah.
The second one, you get a lot more of the liquid smoke, a lot more of the charred oak, and a lot more of the fun bourbon characteristics for sure.
Yeah. All right, so you want to dive? You want to open up 2011? So we're skipping 2010. We don't have. I didn't even have a 2010 back there. Yeah. Somehow I missed that.
That was
year.
A busy year for you, wasn't that the year you guys did? You did the documentary that year, right?
Oh, so
for
I have symposium. I have symposium mail back there.
2010, yeah. Back when what was it? The Craft Brewers Conference was in Chicago that year. Mm-hmm.
So there we go. No twist off bottle in 2010.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't even pick up on that.
Did you hear a little fizz when it opened up?
Yeah, not really.
Okay. Whew, going through big beers like this fast is tough.
Yeah.
But get a little more toast, but also a little more of that cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That one does not smell as pleasing as like the other ones. Doesn't smell great, but this one doesn't smell good at all.
Yeah, it's weird because 2009 was a little bit more pleasant to smell.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, 2010.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
2000, what was it? Not 10, 11.
11.
2011. Isn't that weird how that works out? Like,
yeah, these are all probably aged and cellared at appropriate temperature for the most part and not too much variant on it over the last, like, probably 4 or 5 years, but the 2011 Bourbon County sucks.
Like, it's that is of the three we've had, it is not the most righteous of the three. That is for sure.
I feel bad that we're not drinking like a fresh one too.
To compare, yeah, to see the journey.
But
right?
Last year, I didn't even pick up any regular Bourbon County. I picked up a bottle of coffee and some rares. Yeah, that was it.
I might have like one in the fridge. I got to check the dates. It's probably infected.
Okay. Yeah.
No, but they pushed out a lot of dates. They said, hey, these dates are infected. Yeah. Oh, and then this year, I guess, because of the infections, the flash pasteurization took place.
Right,
on
yeah.
All bourbon counties.
All bourbon. So it should have no infection issues with this year's bourbon counties.
Yeah. So it's probably probably for the best. I know, like, they were saying how North Coast, they pasteurized Deschutes.
Yeah.
You know, the Abyss and all those beers are pasteurized. So I don't think it affects the flavors necessarily. I think what it does is it changes their ability to develop, right?
Okay.
So that's my understanding of it. So I could be wrong. But,
okay. Yeah. So you want to open up the 2012. This label didn't even stay on. We got that going on. 2012 Bourbon County Stout.
Yeah.
In our four lineup of celebration of Bourbon County. Oh, there we go. That one was a lot of carbonation.
Yeah. All right, they finally put the logo on the cap this year. So I'm a big fan of that.
Right. So 2011 just was a black cap. Yeah. All right. Hold on. I got to power through this 11 that sucked.
Do it. Where's our dump bucket? That's what the wine folks do. They get the little dump.
I know,
get the little dump bucket.
Yeah, you're not supposed to drink it all, right?
Supposed to just... Well, they spit stuff out in general. I know a lot of beer people, even in tastings, a lot of beer folks, they'll dump, but...
And we should probably be, like, rinsing our glasses each time. This is not appropriate tasting.
Yeah. I know wine people, they dump, but they also spit. You know, like, they'll swirl and spit. I think beer people, they will dump, but beer people typically swallow. Right? They don't spit. You don't go to beer events and see people swirl and spit.
No, yeah.
They drink it.
All right, so 2012 Bourbon County Stout. What do you think right away?
Right away, a lot more fun. A lot more toasted coconut. A lot more almost like fudge batter, right?
Mm-hmm. A little cardboard to it, but it's kind of spicy. It kind of tickles the nose. Interesting. Definitely, I feel like they were all such a different aroma on them, but all right.
Yeah, especially 11 and 9.
Okay, that one I think tastes the most pleasant. It's clean. It's almost just like, it's almost like missing flavor, but not in like a bad way, just in a like, that's not exciting.
Yeah, typically, you're right, because typically when you drink a Bourbon County, you're like, it's the intense aromas that you're attracted to, you know?
Right.
Yeah, and yeah, for this, it's very subdued.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
You get some of that, like, bourbon, whiskey kind of heat, but it's not like a, maybe that's what I was smelling, like rather than spiciness, maybe I was getting like a little burn. But interesting. Okay. They all aged completely differently, and yeah. I was kind of surprised at how this 2011 turned out, because that did not do what I expected it to do, I guess.
Yeah.
Did you have a favorite? Would you?
Overall, I'd probably say, 12?
12, yeah.
I'd say 12 is probably my favorite, but I really enjoyed 9.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed everything, especially when you compared 9 to 10, mm-hmm. you know.
But that showed how quickly from 2012 that the flavors kind of drop out. You said like 5 years is what they often say. Like,
yeah.
There you go. That's kind of it right there.
Yeah.
And it kind of holds true. Like, you shouldn't be holding on to beer that's over 6 years old. That's just, there's no reason for that.
No.
Yeah. And I still have a 2006 Bourbon County back there. So just hold on to it and see how long I can.
It would look cool, you know, on a display somewhere, like as part of a museum, perhaps, right?
I just want to convince someone to like pay me a bunch of money for it and be like, I got a 2006 Bourbon County. How much you got?
You'll get more than $5.99 on the back there. You'll get more than that for sure. Yeah. But that's fun. That was really cool going through the different years, and you'd expect them to progress, you know, chronologically the way, you know, we had them lined up. But
yeah,
but they didn't, you know, flavors kind of went up and went down, you know, and the aromas were a little bit different and not necessarily in the order. It didn't have like a, you know, the trajectory wasn't like what you would think it would be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I think 2012 was the newest one I still have, because mm-hmm. around that time was when, they started doing a lot more variants and larger format bottles. And so I ended up, and it was harder to get.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to get now. And that's why we have events like the Black Friday event happening, around the city and across, you know,
across the country. Yeah. It started in, you were talking about Seattle earlier, where someone posted a photo of like all the BCS they're getting.
Yeah.
But yeah, like Black Friday 2 years ago started with like 8 cities, you know, outside of Chicago that got it. And then now that Goose is in all 50 states, that number's probably double that, and, you know, maybe even triple that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Everyone's getting in on it now.
It's, and I have a feeling they probably made more than last year to maybe make up for the issues, and they didn't have to do rare this year, so.
Which I was a little bummed out about. Did you go to Prop Day? Was this weekend? I did not go.
Yeah.
I didn't make it to Prop Day. I was a little bummed out that the issues with the barrels, because typically what happens when you get rare is that the next time you get the King Henry, right? The barley wine aged in the vintage.
Yeah. Okay.
Wood, and we didn't get that this year, you know, because of the issues with with the contamination. So, and we want to be clear, like, contamination just means flavors that weren't intended to be in the beer. Doesn't mean you can't drink the beer. Like, I'm going to like this Friendsgiving event, and I'm going to bring like an infected one just to see what those flavors are. You know?
I'm going to bring you some bad beer.
I'm going to bring you this beer that's, you know, quote unquote infected. Yeah, because even like in Revolution's case, when they had the infection, you know, it was just our IPA all of a sudden tastes like a Belgian ale now, right? And it's kind of similar to that. Like our stout, you know, our big badass oaky smoky barrel laced stout, kind of tastes like tart fruit. Like, you know, that's the infection, right? So, but yeah, they're still drinkable, I think, you know. Maybe some people might not be clear on that, you know. You can still drink it. It just won't taste the way they intended, so.
Sure. Okay. Understandable.
Yeah, but you're right, man. What was that, 2011? That's when you saw, like, a lot of the variants pop off. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Like,
2011 might have been vanilla. Was that vanilla?
It was 2011 or 2010.
Vanilla was a sought-after beer from my brother-in-law.
The original vanilla and the bomber was something special.
That was. I think that was the first time people were like, whoa, what is this?
I really think, yeah, if you look at their lineage, right, like there have been some variants where, you know, I always say that, that Neapolitan, which I've only seen on draft at Great Taste and at the brewery, Neapolitan is probably like my favorite, but they never bottled that. So when the beers that they bottled of BCS, I think vanilla, the original vanilla, is when they really tapped into the possibilities of how cool this this thing can be with variants.
For sure.
Yeah. And then after that was Cherry Rye the next year, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are the variants this year?
This year they went back to the basics. Okay. So last year there were five. The most adventurous one was probably the Regal Rye, which was basically like blackberries, cherries, and sea salt.
Right? Okay.
So but they scale back, and then Rare was last year. So they're down to four this year. So just coffee, barley wine, the original BCS, and proprietors. And proprietors this year is, what is it, chipotle peppers? I'm pulling it up now. Chipotle peppers and maple bourbon barrels.
Okay.
With cacao nibs.
Yeah. So it's like a spicy chocolate?
Yeah, it's kind of like the last 2 years have been kind of a play on like Mexican hot chocolate, right? Mm-hmm. Like last year they actually added maple syrup and then toasted almonds to it. And then the year before that they added like panela water, which is basically like coconut water.
Okay. Right?
So
yeah, I'm not a huge fan of spicy beers. I don't need that. I don't need my beers to be like burn my mouth and like just confusing, I guess.
Yeah, and what I noticed this year, like, you know, I was able to taste Prop and Prop proprietors. It had like they took the emphasis off it being sweet, mm-hmm. right? And it was really all about like, you know, like really dark, like tobacco-y spiciness. Like
okay.
it kind of led with that, you know, which is the opposite of what it was doing a year before.
You know? Do you have any plans to go out to any of the binnies or any of the events that are happening on Friday?
You know, Whirly Ball is always a fun place to get over to. You know, we whipped up on you pretty good in laser tag couple years ago there. we've done the podcast there. So if I get out, it'll probably be to Whirly Ball. Yeah. You know, you RSVP and you can like you have to RSVP. But then it's just a fun scene as far as like it's really big and spacious, and you don't feel overwhelmed by the crowd.
For sure.
Because they got two floors, and they got tons of room.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if I go out, it'd probably be there.
Nice, okay.
Yeah.
All right, anything else around the Bourbon County release?
I love how we're, like, slurring our words. This reminds me of, like, my first Dark Lord Day. We woke up, and we were all excited to go to Dark Lord Day.
Just
and then by the
passed out on the table here.
By the time we got back, no one could understand what...
This is good beer, right? It's good beer.
This is so cool, man. You know, I just want you to know, man. I'm having so much fun like that.
I love you.
Yeah. So, Black Friday events all across the city, man. We'll just run across a few that we found, right? Fat Pour on Division, they're doing a Goose Black Friday event. So is the Beer Bistro.
Okay.
Beer Bistro is actually doing a Black Wednesday event.
The original and only one.
Okay. Now it's the only one. Yeah. Yeah, there were two. Now we're back down to one. The original one in West Loop. Yeah, that's also a Black Friday event, too.
Cool. Okay.
So, yeah, but they're all over town, man. So, and like you said, man, we don't understand. We lose sight of how much of this beer they made. So, you're going to see Black Friday events everywhere. Even at Whirly Ball, they got a 2013 Templeton Rye BCS, man.
Yeah. I saw
2013.
I saw Fountainhead posted they were open bottles of something last year.
Yeah, Fountainhead on premise, you can get the 2014 Vanilla Rye.
Okay.
And you have to drink it there, but you can still get it.
Yeah.
And that's a 2-year-old one. Yeah. Jewel Osco. When did Jewel Osco become such a major Bourbon County player? It's beyond me. But
when they realized, oh, you're part of Anheuser-Busch and we will take your money that you want to give us.
They are selling last year's Bourbon County Rare. So you go to five locations, Jewel Osco, and you're one of the first 45 people. They'll sell you Bourbon County Rare and give you a snifter.
But it might be infected.
It's very possible. I mean,
but then you can drink it and return it and get your money back.
See, everybody wins, man. It's the holidays, Brad. Everybody wins. Jewel Osco, man. They were saying that. And there's a Jewel Osco in, I guess that's River North, right? Like Milwaukee and Kinzie. They were like, dude, we had Bourbon County. You could walk right up at like 7 o'clock at night on Black Friday and get as much of just about anything you wanted.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. And who knew? I had no idea.
Right. I don't usually go to Jewel for my beer.
Like, for anything.
Because I'm usually disappointed. The times I've gone, I'm like, I've had all this. I don't want any what's like the not Full Sail. I'm thinking of like the. Yeah, I can't even think right now. I don't know. I'm picturing like a shark, like a white, DCS'd. The white IPA.
It's just too much. There's too much stuff going on at Jewel Osco for me.
Okay.
You know, I get overwhelmed easily. I'm like, dude, I don't want to be in this store at all. Just give me a liquor store. I don't want to be in this supermarket.
Cool. So that's kind of the stuff happening around Bourbon County release this weekend, this Friday. You'll probably see it on tap at a lot of your favorite bars. If for some reason you're not listening and you're not in Chicago, or if you're listening but not in Chicago, you may find Bourbon County in your neighborhood.
Yeah, you're guaranteed. I'm going to say you're almost guaranteed to find the original, no matter where you live, if you're listening to this.
Yeah.
For sure. There are other events that are Black Friday events that just expand beyond Bourbon County.
Okay.
Like, so Local Option, they'll have, you know, four Bourbon Counties on tap. But then on Black Friday, they'll do, like, a full lineup of 30 beers. Well, they'll focus on breweries like Pipeworks and, you know, like Toppling Goliath and, you know, and Firestone Walker, these kind of places. You go to Bavarian Lodge out in Lyle in the West Burbs. Yeah, they're actually celebrating their 30th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, around Black Friday. And they've got a tap list that includes, like, you know, your Dogfish Heads, your Revolutions, you know. So they'll have a Black Friday tap list, but it's bigger than just the BCS stuff.
Oh, that's pretty cool,
So two places for that you can go check out, too. Yeah.
Nice, yeah. Bavarian Lodge, I have not been in years, but one or two times I went, I was impressed and, like, confused about why this place is here in the suburbs. And
they have there's a very hardcore German focus, like all the food there.
Yeah.
But they do a good job of squirreling away big beers.
For sure.
And then they'll do something like, they'll have a vintage Dogfish night or a vintage, you know, Three Floyds night, something like that. And they've always got a really impressive lineup of stuff.
Yeah.
If you can make it out there. It's one of those good excursions where you just feel like, you know, doing something out of the ordinary and leaving the city and going somewhere cool. That bar is probably, it's legit as far as, like, it would be an awesome bar if it was in the city, you know, or if it was downtown, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it just happens to be in Lyle. It's a cool bar. That's a cool bar no matter where it's located.
For sure, yeah. Anything else?
Matter where it's located.
No matter where it is, it's good.
It's good, man.
Go to Bavarian Lodge.
It's fucking good, man. I love you, man.
Bourbon County is catching up to you hard.
That was quick.
Anything else happening that anyone should check out besides these Bourbon County releases? I feel like everyone's going to be busy with Thanksgiving this week.
That's true, man. Family stuff and friends and stuff. Let's see. Five Rabbit, they are releasing, they have a beer release on Black Wednesday, the 23rd. It is their...
There's a Black Wednesday now?
No, there's a Black Wednesday. That's when the BRB show is doing their thing. Apparently, the Wednesday is the biggest party day of the whole year.
Oh, yeah. It's Blackout Wednesday.
Blackout Wednesday, because everybody's off Thursday. You know,
okay.
So, Indigo Montoya, which is a beer that just took a Mellow Phobab, right? So, this is the Heaven Hill barrel-aged version of their Yodo Con Leche with hazelnuts. Yeah, so that's going to be on sale Wednesday at 4 p.m.
Nice, okay.
Yeah, out at Five Rabbit, they set up shop near Midway Airport. So right outside the city, like Beckford Park.
Yeah.
75th and Cicero or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Moody Tongue.
Stouts and oysters.
Stouts and oysters. I went to Moody Tongue this week.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
okay.
I went to Moody Tongue. I didn't try. I was pre-gaming for dinner. I was like, dude. And I wanted to get down on the oysters and the chocolate cake, but... You know, we just had the beers.
You pre-gaming for dinner. That's oyster time. That's what oysters are.
That is true.
They are the pre-game for dinner.
We should have gotten oysters. I didn't push hard enough. We got two beers and we're like, all right, we're going to blow this reservation. We got to get out of here.
That's Moody Tongue's thing. It's before or after dinner place.
Exactly. Yeah. Dude, they had a grapefruit lager.
Okay.
That was lights out. So he's got all this, the folks, I think from the Boca group, you know, that's the girl and a goat in Boca, they... He enlisted those guys to, like, you know, lay out his space, right? His space. Oh, but he's got, like, this really cool Austrian hand-blown glassware. It's like, I love that it's a very elegant approach towards a tap room.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It looks really cool in there.
For sure.
Yeah. So, I had a couple of the barrel-aged offerings, and I had the grapefruit pills.
Grapefruit Pills.
Grapefruit Pills is where it was at, man.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, but on Black Friday, he's got a Four Roses Barrel Aged Gingerbread Imperial Stout.
Okay.
Going on at 4 o'clock. So Jared, who actually used to work at Goose Island Clybourne, he was a pub brewmaster there for a few years.
Uh-huh.
Then he branched off to do his own thing.
So maybe I'll talk to Maeve and we'll go over there. I think we gotta go buy a microwave and then we'll go over to Moody Tongue.
You know, about 4 o'clock. It's not too far. It's like right off like 18th Street. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's pretty easy to get to. Yeah. So that's happening this week. Yeah. I think that's all I got for events, man.
It's okay. Then you were out. You were drinking some mead this week, right?
Yeah. So
we're
flipping
this whole show. We're doing it.
I love it, man. I love the shuffle, man. it's like because the whole show is kind of like an improv, right? It's kind of just like just us hanging out, chatting. It's So I went down to Beverly, out on the South Side, man. So I hit up a Wild Blossom Meadery.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a meadery in Chicago?
There's a meadery
in Illinois area, yeah. Chicagoland area, I guess.
It's weird because when you look up Wild Blossom Meadery, they give you an address, and you go to the address, it's actually like a wine and homebrew shop.
Okay.
That happens to be the meadery. So we're like, yeah, man. You walk in, and you know, there's all this equipment to make beer with. And you're like, is this the meadery? He's like, yeah, that's us. And apparently, like, when you're on, it's on Western. So apparently on, like, the east side of Western, you can't sell any liquor. And on the west side of Western is where all the bars are.
Oh, cool.
When you get to like 95th to like 105th on Western, right? So, okay. So we're like, yeah, man, let's do a tasting. He's like, well, we can't sell you any mead, but we can do a tasting. So you just buy the glass and we'll give you the mead.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what we end up doing. You know?
Such weird loopholes. We can't sell you beer, but we can sell you the glass to put stuff in.
Right. You know, and yo, this place was cool, man. They got 20 varieties of mead, man.
What?
You know, so mead
that's
is
ridiculous.
Like...
No, that's too much mead. That's too much mead.
That's a lot of mead. A mead for every occasion, man.
I don't need that much mead.
So mead is basically honey wine.
Yeah.
You know? And then, you know, I talked to him. I was like, dude, so... Because, you know, the mead people will tell you, well, it's the world's oldest fermented beverage. You know, it's what the Vikings drink. You know, this predates everything. That's their conversation, you know? And I was like, so I'm going through all these different kind of meads. My favorite one was a chocolate honey buzz, you know. And these meads are righteous, right? There was a pirate's blood one, which was like a really spicy mead. And he's like, dude, and if you really want to get wild, you know, just blend the pirate's blood with the chocolate honey buzz and get that Mexican chocolate thing going. Hey, but I'm like, so why honey versus grapes? You know, wine is typically made out of grapes, you know.
Yeah.
And he was kind of saying it's as simple as, you know, people – don't like putting stuff in their wine, you know? And I want to know more about this. So, like, you introduced me to the Glug slushies, right?
Yeah.
And the Glug is basically, like, spiced wine. I don't know, like, Scandinavian spiced wine or whoever spiced wine.
Yeah, it's a blend of spiced wine and alcohol. And, yeah.
And, you know, you serve it warm, and then you serve it in slushies. But other than the Glug, like, not a whole lot of people embrace the idea of putting anything, or sangrias, right? Nobody embraces the idea of putting things in wine. They just want the wine.
Okay.
So he's like, honey wine is a little bit more versatile where, you know, it's kind of fun. You know, you get this green apple nectar, you know, you can throw some vodka in that, put an apple garnish on it. You know what I mean? Like it becomes, it's just more festive, you know, like that, the pirate's blood, it's got like ancho chilies and, you know, all these four different types of chilies. He says it goes great in a tequila sunrise. You know, it goes great in a Bloody Mary.
Uh-huh.
Right. And then like wines overall aren't as versatile. The best one I thought they had was one called Sweet Desire. It was, it had, this buckwheat honey, which is really dark honey, and they aged that in bourbon barrels.
Oh, cool.
So that was really nice. So yeah, man, I went through the magical world of meads.
It's too sweet. It's too sweet.
It is very sweet. That's why you gotta get that pirate's blood and blend that in there.
Okay.
Or to be honestly though, like even having it with, you know, breakfast, you know. Even having it with breakfast.
You're an alcoholic and you're looking for something to have at breakfast.
I didn't like put it in my Cheerios or anything. You know, you just have it as your beverage. But listen, like.
Those Bellinis aren't working for you? We got mead.
Even with breakfast, it's just too sweet. It overpowers everything. You almost, it's almost exclusively a dessert thing, you know, to your point. You're right. It's like, it's, they're cloyingly sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a time and place. It was good.
Yeah. Speaking of Glug, I think Simon's this weekend is releasing the Glug. their Glug.
Right on.
They do the Glug slushies in the summertime around the Midsummer Day Festival that happens in Andersonville. Yeah. And then this weekend, I believe, is the release of their Glug. So you can go there. It's their recipe, non-iced version, and you can have it. Warm wine, I guess.
I want to try the warm version because the slushy is a party and a half, man. Dude.
The warm version is even better because you're more excited because it warms you up. You're cold. You're cold outside. Like, the slushy version is nice because it's like being a kid and having a... you know, a snow cone, but the warm version is like, it just makes you cozy.
I can dig it. Yeah. So I went there. So I'm in Beverly and I'm like, dude, Horse Thief Hollow is around here somewhere. You know, so we ended up going to Horse Thief Hollow after
oh, nice.
Wild Blossom.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So yeah. Those guys are doing fun stuff, man. They've been open for 3 years. They got 4 major awards, man. 2 from Great American Beer Fest, 1 from the World Beer Cup, and they just took gold in classic styles at FOVAP.
Nice. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So you should definitely get to those 2 spots in Beverly.
Cool.
Yeah.
Anything else happening this week, or what are you drinking on Thanksgiving? What's your drink of choice?
That's a good question, man. I mean, I'm gonna bring some Infected BCS to this party.
Right.
That's the good folks.
You could just blend these together in Kappa and be like, I have an Ott's variety mix.
I don't know, man. Like, I got some Dark Lord stuff. I'm not excited about Dark Lord just as a beer. I don't get excited about it. I do have I got a few years of Matilda that I think would be really good, you know, and it's for everybody can enjoy.
Oh, cool.
I got a 5-year vertical of Matilda.
Okay.
So I'm excited about that.
Nice. This year, I think I'm going to drink some cider. I'm going to go cider this year.
Okay.
I picked up a bomber of a cider. I can't remember who it was from. And then I picked up some Seattle cider because I usually like their cider, but I saw pumpkin spice cider. And so that will either go great or be the worst thing I've ever tasted. I'm kind of thinking it's not going to taste very good.
Somebody brought this cider with pumpkins. I think it was Brad.
And I'm going to leave it at my mom's. She's just going to be like, what is this, sir?
Well, and, you know, if they don't like it, you know, they can pour it out. It makes for a great, soap dispenser pump at the for the dishwasher liquid, too. It goes great with that.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
Nice. Before we get out of here and wrap things up, any beer news that's been happening?
Yeah, we got a little bit of beer news, man. So Avery out in Colorado, they're discontinuing their whole series of heavy dark beers.
They're stopping.
They are going out of business. No, they discontinued a lot of their heavy stouts.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're talking Mistopheles. You know, we're talking about their Demon series.
Right, okay.
Basically, right. And this is, I don't know, those beers were successful, you know? So I'm kind of surprised that they're that they're getting rid of them. So it was basically called the Demons and Dictators series, right? So this is the Beast, Mistopheles, and 6 other beers, right? And what they were saying was, hey, man, we're going to focus on, you know, these beers. We got 2 barrel-aged stouts. One's a Raspberry Sour.
Okay. Right?
And the other one's another fruit stout that they're going to focus on that'll replace those. Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know, man. I thought Mistopheles and Beast were both really good beers.
Yeah, I haven't had either in a long time, so it's hard for me to say. But yeah, bummer.
Yeah, that sucks, man. Yeah. Oh yeah, the Vanilla Bean Stout aged in bourbon barrels, and then the Raspberry Sour, which is aged in oak barrels. Those are the 2 beers that'll be year round that are replacing 6 of their big stouts.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. So there's that. We talked about Fountainhead. Let's see. Big Hugs Day was announced.
Oh, Big Hugs. Yeah, I love Big Hugs Day.
Yeah, that's a fun day, right in the middle of winter. So this will be December 11th. That's a Sunday. And they've got 5 variants going in bottles. I don't think they had that many ever before.
They usually had 1 variant.
Yeah.
There was usually, I want to say, a vanilla one. That was what they've had.
Yeah.
That's kind of their thing. So now 5.
Yeah, so that's big for them. Yeah. Lumpin' Radio.
Big Hugs, you can do this sweet thing where you pay $200 and you get 5 Big Hugs and 2 bottles of every variant a stout glass, and a mug.
That sounds like a win.
So I think the best deal, if you're thinking like, whoa, $200 is a lot for beer.
Yeah.
But you split it between one or maybe two other people, and it's 100, you know.
Yeah, now you're down to
$60, somewhere in there. Yeah. Like, and then you are guaranteed some big hugs and some variants. So I think if you split it between two people, that's perfect because you only really need like one variant of each.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and then I like how they are they're making it a point to have all their bottle releases at their original pub.
Right.
You know, keep that traffic going over
there.
Well,
I don't think they have the license to sell the bottles at the other place. Yeah. But okay. Yeah.
Well, there you go. All right. Lumpin' Radio, which is the crew from Mars.
Mars Brewing. They're from Mars. They are aliens.
The Mars Brewing crew. So Mars, Lumpin' Radio, and Maria's. That's all one big crew.
Okay.
Right. Lumpin' Radio is celebrating its 25th anniversary. So the Mars guys made a 12-pack of beer for them. The cool part is that the 12-pack is it looks like a boombox. It looks like an old-school 1980s boombox.
This whole thing is only for them. It's not going to be like normal packaging.
No, it's not normal packaging. So they've got like, it's basically a variety pack of 12 beers.
Wait, are these cans look like they were a lot of work, so they're not going to be like...
I don't know. That's the original plan. There is a package you can get that includes a t-shirt and a tote bag when you go to these places, but then there's just the boom box, which is a 12-pack of beer.
And so can you get them at everywhere?
Yeah.
You can get at Mars participating locations?
At Mars participating locations, a.k.a. Maria's and probably the Beer Temple.
Okay.
Right. Those are probably the two places you can for sure get these beers.
Cool.
Yeah, okay. Maria's in the Beer Temple. Let's see. What else we got here, man?
This is more than a little bit of news.
Haymarket, man. They milled in today at their brew pub up in Bridgman, Michigan. You've been up there.
Yeah.
Right? They said they might brew their first beer this weekend over the Thanksgiving holiday.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. So that's their big, massive production brewery just outside of Chicago.
So the actual tap room's not open yet, but they're brewing, hopefully.
But they're going to start brewing this weekend. Yeah, and a little bit more news. Collaboration between Dry Hop and Goose Island took place this week. They have a nut brown ale coming out. They roasted 100 pounds of plantains to put in the nut brown ale.
That doesn't sound right.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm like, well, how many nuts did you put in the nut
banana brown nut ale? Brown ale?
Yeah, right? It's like a holiday remix of the brown ale. Yeah, it's brewed with the lady from Goose Island who came up with last year's proprietor's recipe.
Okay.
Yeah, she's the brewer that collabed with Dry Hop. So they're going to throw a party in mid-December for that beer.
Nice, okay.
Yeah, so, that's it.
That's it? All right, we should get out of here because we went way longer than we normally go.
Why do we talk so much, man?
You know, you get some beer in you, you just ramble and talk for a long time.
But I tell you something, man. You know, we did get to talk about Bourbon County.
Right, so if you made it all the way through, like we said, we drank the 2008, 2009, 2011, and 2012 Bourbon County Stout.
Yeah.
And look, we're only drinking this 2012 because we realized that don't age your beer. Drink it fresh.
2011 is where it's at. And you
2012
know,
is where it's 2011 sucked.
Oh, yeah, the label fell off. Yeah, 2012, good call. Yeah, when you think about this beer and you think about how many breweries had a bourbon barrel program when they started this thing back in, I don't know, 95, 92, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and then you think about now and how it's kind of like almost like a prerequisite. Everyone's got to have one. Like, you look at it from that standpoint and you got to say, hey, man, these guys were onto something.
Right.
You know? And these guys don't suck. And we're kind of, it's kind of cool that they're based here in Chicago, man.
For sure.
And influencing the whole fucking country with what they're doing, man. Black Friday's an event and Bourbon Barrel Aged Beers is a festival.
True, yeah.
And it's a it's a culture within craft beer, so and that's cool.
Nice. Well, Nick, where can people find you, get in touch when you're not recording here?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass, website chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes get posted there, links to iTunes, Stitcher, the YouTube version. We've been streaming also live on Periscope. Lately, we sometimes record a live version, but then I was like, let's stream a live version too.
Oh,
so
there
yeah,
you go.
You can hang out with us on Periscope if you want like a unfiltered, kind of not the best quality too. So check that out. And then our Facebook page. We post a lot of photos and events and just things there. That's /Chicago Beer Pass. So yeah. Check that out as well.
For sure.
And that'll do it for this week's episode. Hopefully everyone has a great Thanksgiving and drinks a lot of beer.
Right on. Cheers.